handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Brick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. It is 10 a.m. on July 19th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Cookie is huffing and puffing like the big bad wolf because she hears me speaking, and I guess she forgot that I do this every Monday. She went to the spa this weekend, and she's been very weird ever since. So hopefully there's not any creepy things going on at the spa. Hopefully she's not getting me too'd. At the doggy daycare spa, and I would doubt it because it's a small black woman owned business. Okay, I trust black women with my dog. Okay, hashtag that please. And it's like a small, cute little store, and there is no back area. So for Cookie to be violated by a dog esthetician. It would have to be in broad daylight in front of Bloomfield, New Jersey, on a storefront. So that would be brazen. Maybe it's been done before, but I'm guessing not. I think Cookie just quarantine has really messed with Cookie. She was, when we moved out here, Cook's Bear was starting to chase squirrels. The more suburban ambiance was, I think, bringing out a little bit of her country, a little bit more of her animal instincts, and she was a little less frightened than she was in the city. But then once she was stuck at home with us, especially me, but both of us for 4 months, and then me for the last almost year and a half now, I think it sort of regressed her to maybe where she only feels comfortable here. Like it's the reverse of separation anxiety. It's like almost like she now has more separation anxiety because she's been not separated for so long. I don't know. That's just my theory. I don't know what I'm doing with my dog. I've had her for 5.5 years, and I think she only now sort of somewhat likes me. So, yeah. So Cookie, that's the Cookie portion of the show. Didn't expect to spend two plus minutes describing my dog huffing and puffing at the door, but there we are. Guys, by the time next week's episode goes up, I will have already rocked Boston, Massachusetts at City Winery. So this is it, folks. I'm assuming people who want to go or are going have already bought their tickets, but maybe you've procrastinated, maybe you haven't spread the word. It's a big show for me. I've got some big shows coming up, but please, by all means, like I said last week, there's no reason to wait on buying tickets. So far, Boston is on the 26th at City Winery, beautiful venue. And then got to contact a bunch of people about shows this summer and fall. But right now, the only ones up on my site are Philly, September 26th, Raleigh, October 6th, and obviously my special recording. So if you're in New York, get tickets to the special recording now. Let's block out the day. It's October 23rd. Pretend a real comedian who's famous is doing a show that night and you want to get tickets ahead of time. I do have huge good news to share on the entertainment front, but I'm not sharing it right now. You will hear about it in August, but it is the rare bit of unquestionably good news. Of course, I can spin it in an incredibly hilarious negative way as well, which I will. But I will share that with you in August. But who knows where this podcast will take us? I never know where my mood will go. Two episodes last week, but last week's main episode. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you're not subscribing or you didn't check, there was a bonus Emmys episode that I put up. So there were two episodes last week, but on the main episode that went up at the regularly scheduled time, I thought it was one of my best episodes, but it was weird because it was like hilarious for 25 minutes and then like incredibly dark and angry for like 20 minutes. But that's what you get. Life is JL's podcast is like a box of chocolates. You'll enjoy it and then potentially choke on it. So Boston, big show. That's the main takeaway today. If you take nothing else, for Christ's sakes, I want to sell some tickets to this thing. And it'll just be good if, you know, I don't understand why City Winery has not posted about my show at all. I'm outselling, I think, everything else my week so far. And I have the worst night of the week. So it's like, maybe help me out and we might sell even more tickets. But I don't know what they're doing, why, you know, they run other comedy shows. And I feel like I need to ask them, was there an agreement that you would not promote my comedy show as a conflict? Because that's something that might have been helpful to know, that I was going to get no help from the venue. Like that's, I don't know. That seems weird and something that should be disclosed. But not one Instagram post, or tweet. So it's, you know, I don't know. I signed up for their newsletter just to see if I get any, like to see if they're sending anything out, this week. So we'll see. But, you know, there. I'm already in a negative space. You see how quickly I can get back into that comfy negative space? I'm halfway through Richard Marx's book, Stories to Tell. Very much enjoying it. My buddy, my social media buddy, frequent podcast collaborator. Well, I did his show, and then he did mine, Making Podcasts Great Again. So, but that, I think that counts. We tweeted each other. We DM occasionally, and we've done each other's shows. So I think that's, I don't know, that's as close to a friend as I've developed in the last, like, decade. I know it's not a real quote-unquote friendship, but you know what? For social media and for the hermit life I'm living, that's pretty close. So I'm really enjoying his book. Only problem is the back of the book is, like, a nice, handsome picture of him, like, you know, some authors do. But it's weird because he's like, you know, this elder, handsome. He looks good for his age, for sure. The hair is still thick, but it feels like I'm carrying around some like teen beat for for women in their 40s when I when I hold the book out in public. I'm like, not afraid of looking like an obsessed older woman. But and anybody who's new to the podcast, that's Ron Reagan Jr. Anybody who's not new to the podcast is like, yeah, dude, we know. But anybody who's new to the podcast, I'm breathing life into Ron Reagan's atheist commercials through my podcast. It's a one-man PR agent for Ron Reagan Jr. He's got his atheist commercials, and he is the star of the Reagan's four-part documentary on Showtime. So if you want to understand what the fuck I'm talking about sometimes, I suggest you go check out the Reagan's documentary. And if you have, 9 months to spare, I recommend the Quadrology by Rick Perlstein of the Rise of the Modern Right. Before the Storm, about Goldwater, Nixonland, about, you guessed it, Nixon. The Invisible Bridge, about the sort of, it's kind of a biography, rise of Ronald Reagan. in the Republican Party, and then Reaganland, about him finally getting the nomination and defeating Jimmy Carter. Incredible quadrology of books for history and politics fans. I immensely enjoyed them. But right now it's been a nice breezy read of Richard Marx. He actually has some really, really great stories. And yeah, it's been a pleasure and a nice, light, fun, informative read. So yeah, that's what I'm reading right now. I saw Space Jam 2, which for all you Making Podcasts Great Agains fans will be one of the two reviews that Trump does, in about a week or so. Space Jam 2, you know how I feel about LeBron. Maybe you don't. I'm a huge LeBron fan. I think he's the best ever, but I certainly, respect Michael Jordan opinions on that. And also I think, you know, Kareem deserves mention, and I still think Wilt Chamberlain just gets left out. The single most dominant player in NBA history, bar none. Like, you can talk about eras and you can talk about championships, but no one dominated basketball ever, and will probably never again, like Wilt Chamberlain. He was just more athletic, stronger, and bigger than everybody. It was like if Shaq also had Russell Westbrook athleticism. That's basically what it would have been like for Shaq to have been the equivalent of Wilt Chamberlain. And I feel like Wilt doesn't get enough respect. Just, you know, you don't want to say he's the greatest ever because, you know, he doesn't have the champion. He only has two championships, and Bill Russell won all those championships. But Wilt Chamberlain is just, whatever, the single most dominant force in basketball history, and he will never be eclipsed. You know, you'd have to have like an 8 foot tall Russell Westbrook with a jump shot, basically, to be the equivalent of Wilt Chamberlain. But I am a huge LeBron James fan. But Space Jam 2, it was like shame. Like, there were I rewatched Space Jam 1 this weekend. And I remember when I saw it as a teenager, I was like, of course I'm seeing Space Jam. I like cartoons and I like basketball. And I remember thinking, this was okay. I think I actually liked Space Jam 1 more rewatching it now. I felt like it had some decent, clever stuff. It had a couple of nods to the corporate interests and sponsors of Michael Jordan, like knowing winks. And I thought it was like, wasn't terrible. It was like decent. I overall kind of enjoyed watching it. Space Jam 2 started actually kind of decent, I thought. I didn't really believe LeBron as the hard-charging father. Not that his acting was terrible, but I just didn't. It was like, what? He is LeBron James, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think he would like be bullying his kids that they can't have fun while playing basketball, that they have to treat it like business. But I get it, it's a movie. Speaking of bullying kids into sports, book recommendation for sports fans out there. And I've made this recommendation before, but possibly not in this current incarnation of the Righteous Prick podcast. Open by Andre Agassi. I've read some good sports books. One that comes to mind that I'm forgetting the title, so that's great. Moneyball was obviously a good book, although that's, you know, more like business and sports. Hold on for 1 second, folks. And we're back, folks. I took a, I thought that was going to be like a clever, I had to edit that silence out because at first I was like, oh, this will be cute when I leave it like blank for 10 seconds. So they'll feel like I'm journeying through my apartment. And then I couldn't find it. So I edited out the silence. So fail in creating a realistic ambiance to this podcast. The Perfect Mile, about, three men, Roger Bannister, I believe, being the eventual person to break the 4 minute mile. Excellent sports book. I remember I loved that. I read that. It had to be like, 16 years ago or something like that. But I remember that. But Open by Andre Agassi, I think, is just the best sports book I've ever read. He had a relationship, it felt like, to tennis that I have to comedy. In other words, anyway, read it. I would recommend that if you're looking for a good sports book, you know, with the U.S. Open, you know, a little over a month away. But yeah, so where was I? We talked books. Space Jam 2. Not a good movie. And it just felt like it started out promising, but it was like, and I know I hate $1 bet arguments. And what I mean by that, The Price is Right, the show. Let me explain when I make a that's a $1 wager or whatever. The Price is Right. It's like, oh, well, how much does this car cost? $19,000, $23,000, $41,000. And then the last person goes, $1. So that they can get everything from $1 to $18,999. So it's like an easy guess. Yes, you might win, but you really didn't kind of play the game. You played the game, but you didn't really play the game. And sometimes you win and sometimes you lose with that bet. So there's a lot of arguments in life that I consider $1 bet arguments. And one of those is Space Jam 2 is for kids and y'all are acting like furious over a bad movie that's not even for you. And I go, yes, that's always an easy argument. But you know what? Entertainment in an era of grown adults watching 500 Disney and Marvel shows, let's not pretend like the line hasn't been blurred a bit. And when I watched Space Jam, I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of kid-like. But it was also a major, a theme park level. I called it online a theme park with ADD is what the movie kind of felt like. Because it was just like, here's every Universal property in the movie. And I'm going, wow, that's a lot of, that's Tim Burton Batman references, Matrix references, Game of Thrones references, Austin Powers references. A lot of those references, the 14-year-old target audience wasn't even alive for, and I'm guessing a lot of kids maybe don't get to watch Game of Thrones with their families because it's like a hard R. And so it's kind of disingenuous to be like, it's not for adults. It's like, then why are 75% of the references in the movie geared towards adults? But overall, it was a sloppy kind of replica of the first one. And, you know, I think they made a good, some of it was a decent effort, but I found it kind of like a waste of my time. And the first Space Jam also had the decency to be 87 minutes with credits, whereas this one was an hour and 55 minutes. But it was, you know, if your kid enjoyed it, great. If your kid gets the Austin Powers and Matrix references, cool. Maybe you're a bad parent that your 10-year-old is well-versed in R-rated TV and movies. That's right. Parental judgment corner of the show. Speaking, I mentioned the hard R. Speaking of the hard R, I joined, this is diet update. I am on day 22. How about that, folks? We're cruising along now. I actually had two good nights of sleep in the last week. So that is something I haven't achieved in about 9.5 years. So that's pretty good. Two good nights sleep in a week. Eating healthy, getting to the gym, going out for walks, not tripping. Okay, folks, we are well over a month since I last fell and busted open my body on the pavement, though I still walk with great care. Maybe I'll never walk the, no, I'm never going to walk again the way I did before I fell. Split open my knee on the street. A woman said, are you okay? That was the worst part of it, just the concern. Like, I got a reverse Karen. I fell so badly a month ago that I got a reverse Karen. A white woman got out of her car and said, are you okay? And I was like, oh, no. I'm so pathetic. The Karens are coming to my aid. But, yeah, working out. The weight is, you know, coming off. I'm down, what am I down, 14.5 pounds in 3 weeks. I'm not dieting quite as strictly as I was, but the habits are building, and I'm steering clear of really the only snacks I've had are that small servings of that, well, medium servings, let's be honest, of that perfect popcorn, which is like everything on the bag is like, it's healthy, it's this and that. And then you eat it, I'm like, how can this be healthy? This shit is addictive as fuck. But I'm having a little bit of that day and like a third of a bar of dark, you know, dark, like the shitty dark chocolate that's like actually good for you, 70% or above. That's what I love about Special Dark by Hershey. It's like, this is not the real dark chocolate. You got to have the shit that makes you like pucker up. But every time I say pucker up, I think of an Ice Cube lyric from West Side Connection where he just says, pucker up before we fuck her up. Bow down before I make a phone call. Ice Cube, I always say, is the greatest case for reparations there is in America. If you think there's problem, if you are a cynical, bigoted conservative complaining about lack of structure and violence in the black community, look what happened to Ice Cube. He made a bunch of money and stopped complaining about everything and just made family films. He was an angry person spouting anti-Semitic and misogynist lyrics, and he made lots of money, and now the worst thing he can do is do stupid videos on Twitter, like supporting the Platinum Plan by Donald Trump. That's, you know, that's, well, that's a different kind of black-on-black violence, but at least it's not the one, you know, with bullet holes. Anyway, I joined my sister-in-law had, who's a petite woman, but she had said she'd gained some weight. They have their own stresses over there, and obviously, COVID was stressful for everybody, but she put on weight, and I was like, really? I think on a petite person, I would have noticed that the amount, but she said she joined Noom and she dropped a lot of weight on Noom. And she said, it was just very interesting. And I found it very motivational. And I said, you know what? I've signed up for every goddamn streaming platform there is. Where can I throw around some of my money before it's all gone? And so I joined Noom. And I just paid for 8 months of it, because in 8 months, which would be a month before my 43rd birthday, they said over the course of their long questionnaire and shit that I would get to my target weight by mid-March. Now, that could be false, but I feel like I've always thought that it would take me 8 to 10 months to get where I want to be, but I've always only had like 2 months worth of discipline before I either was eating donuts in an airport at 6 a.m. or tripping on the sidewalk and being despondent over my inability to function as an adult anymore. So I felt like, you know what, let's double up. We've been going good for a little over 2 weeks on the diet and exercise. So let's force multiplier. Let's join Noom. So I joined Noom. So now I'm a Noomer with a hard R, but you have to be in Noom to say it. That's the rule. They say it on the website. You can't call somebody a Noomer if you're not a Noomer. But I don't know. It's basically food logging and listening to annoying motivational tips. But I think it's the idea of getting you engaged, you know, using the social media and app addictive qualities, but for good. So you're logging every meal, it's tracking your steps, you're putting in workout. Like, so it's got a, I don't know. I don't know if it'll add any benefit, but I don't think it can hurt, because it just keeps me doubly focused on this shit. But, you know, let's just hope if I'm still doing this, and by doing this, I mean breathing and living, by April of 2022, let's hope I'm sitting here with my shirt off and my abs in place going, it feels good. It feels good to be back to my Haitian Irish American psycho self. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But just keeping you updated. Is there anything else to share? I wish I could share the big news with you, but it's just not, I have to be cautious and judicious with, I just feel like my power to ruin good news is so overwhelming that I'd just rather not say anything right now. But I want you to know that there is some real positive shit happening. So I think I can make this one a short one, because I got a lot of work to do. I gotta hit the gym, bro. I'm very focused on my self-care. I don't have any Italian jokes today. I did write a bit that I think is a potential closer and a potential, like, you know, if I were to get a special sold, I feel like it's one of half a dozen bits on the album or special that could be famous or really, you know, just have life, like the kind of bit where it goes, oh, you have to watch this because, oh, you got to see this bit he does on, I don't even want to say, I hate to even tip my hand because I want to keep this stuff. But if you're coming to Boston, you'll most likely hear a rough draft of this bit that I'm working on. So more incentive to come to the Boston show. And I got to say thank you to everybody already who has bought tickets. Much appreciated. But we got to, I'd like to really, I'm not going to pack the place. It's a big venue and it's a shitty night of the week. But, you know, I'd like to get a nice solid crowd for sure. And I think we're well on our way. If City Winery just does any promotion whatsoever, it might help. And, you know, maybe there'll be some walk-ins in the week of now. It's the time to buy. So I don't know. I'm rationalizing every which way. I'll make a profit, which is something I usually can't say about comedy. So that's positive in and of itself. But I think that's it. I talked books. I talked Space Jam, A New Legacy. And diet and Boston, and I did a Ron Reagan, and I think that's it. Listen to that Emmys show if you missed it. Obviously, it was last week's second episode, a rare bonus episode. Maybe a harbinger of things to come. I know by now I was supposed to have launched my Jemmy fan membership stuff with all the bonus content and monthly live shows, but I just, stress and so busy. I really hope August is the month I can do it because I don't have much going on in August. So I think that might be the month to really, put my efforts into that. And I hope more people join it because I'm always hesitant about this because I know a lot of people don't care about this, but I don't want to like just milk the you know, my 200 biggest fans every which way for money. I'd like to produce stuff that hopefully can reach a lot of people and people who are fans of mine. But I'll end with this. Let's end with one negative thing. That's funny. Stupid people are on the rise again on my Twitter feeds. Two jokes that did very well for me on social media befuddled some of my followers, who I think they're usually older people, I think, because they'll often... I remember I once posted on the Making Podcast Great Again Twitter account, Trump Pod, and I always speak, not always, but most of the time speak in the first person, or I'll say, your podcast president is on this month talking about how he'd like to, fuck Kim Guilfoyle in the ass while Don Jr. watches. I'm exaggerating, but you get the point. And this one woman had said, why would I... Get out of here with that piece of shit. Or if you support him, you must be a piece of shit too. And I go, ma'am, this is a parody account. And I said something rude to her back. And she says, well, I don't. And I said, you follow me. And she goes, I don't follow you. And I said, yes, you follow me. Figure out how to use social media, you rude bitch. Something to that effect. But she had called me a piece of shit. Like she had gone there first. Like she wasn't like just suggesting, she like went on the attack first. So I thought, I'm entitled to attack back, especially if you're too stupid to know how to use social media. She goes, well, I didn't realize I followed you, but you're rude. And I said, I'm rude. You called me a piece of shit and you didn't even know what you were doing. And that was that. And I blocked her. But it was like, sometimes I get into those encounters, and I had two of them this week, which were interesting, but mostly just one was stupid comedy fan and one was stupid comedy fan and rude. The first one I wrote in the spirit of Space Jam, I said, interesting little known fact, the original Space Jam, parentheses 1951, starred George Mikan, who was like the first star of the NBA. Like he was a 6'10 white guy who played for the Minneapolis Lakers, and I think he won like four titles or something early in the NBA. Like I don't even know if there was a black person in the NBA yet, but he was like the first star of the NBA. And he has a drill for anybody who's ever attended a basketball camp, the Mikan drill, which is like just a little touch drill for big men down by the basket. So obviously Space Jam, the first Space Jam was in 1996 with Michael Jordan. So your first hint is that I'm treating this like a historical lineage of Space Jams. And as somebody pointed out on Twitter, yeah, and we hadn't even gone to space yet. I know they were kind of kidding, but that made me chuckle. So I said, the original Space Jam was in 1951, starring George Mikan and a bunch of racist Disney characters, because of course the old Disney films all had like shameful racist stereotypes, Peter Pan, Dumbo, etc. starred racist Disney characters who were playing a bunch of black World War II veterans. Now, if you know your history of post-World War II, there was an uptick in lynchings and things like that because you had, but it also spurred some of the energy into the civil rights movement because you had black men coming back from serving abroad, fighting for this country and fighting Hitler, and then resentment of trashy white people and racism still lingering that they thought they were now equal or better than somebody because they'd served their country. And it's a disgraceful, disgraceful legacy. But that was the joke, that in a 1951 Space Jam, it would be racist cartoons and George Mikan battling black men seeking their rights. Like that would have been the 1951 equivalent of Monsters from Space, would have been black men seeking equality and opportunity. Very layered joke, but well, well received on Facebook and Twitter. But one woman wrote to me, "I can't find anything about this online. Where did you hear this from?" And I was just, momentarily heartbroken because I just thought to myself, you know, similar to the guy in Goodfellas who tells Tommy DeVito to go and get his shine box, I often want to tell these people, go and get your lip sync videos. Go and get on TikTok. Get the fuck out of here. This is for joke. This is a real comedian's account, not something for simpletons. And then it happened again yesterday. There was an article on BuzzFeed about like celebrity stories you never knew. And the headline like for the social media boost was Eartha Kitt once had a threesome with James Dean and Paul Newman. And I then retweeted that and said, getting that Jimmy Dean sausage and that Newman's dressing, which is, of course, an allusion to James Dean's dick and Paul Newman's cum. Show title, Newman's original cum. Proceeds go to charity. I wish I could title the episode Newman's original cum. But the, that Roy Wood, Rod from the Black Eyed Tips retweeted, it was doing very well. The tweet was getting a lot of laughs and doing very well. And then one woman, always a woman, isn't it, said, Jimmy Dean, and I did add a cunty, even though she didn't write, I feel like in spirit it had a, Jimmy Dean and James Dean aren't the same person. And then that got like three likes from followers of her dumbass. And somebody said, did he not know this? LOL. So my retort was, I hate it when the humor impaired project their infirmary. I hate when the humor impaired project their lack of knowledge as my lack of knowledge. And then the person wrote back and they deleted their tweet, but they were like, oh, I remember you now. You're the person who used to be funny. And they deleted that. Maybe they felt bad about insulting me, but my response to them was rather harsh, which I then deleted because I realized they weren't seeing it, even though other people were seeing it. But it was like, you follow me. Sometimes if you're the only person not getting a joke, it's you, not the joke. You might have a bad sense of humor. You might be stupid. These aren't moral failings, but take some ownership of your own problems. And then I forget what my third one was. I wanted to make it go fuck yourself, but it was, I said, maybe you should try TikTok. So I did tell her to get her social media shine box. But what is this? What the fuck are we doing, people? Between the anti-vax people or the people, it's what I always find funny is the anti-vax people or the I'm trying to get at the real science people, they always can cite one person. It's the same as climate change. They can always cite a guy. And then they treat that one person as gospel truth. And then they treat the large consensus as you're not hearing both sides. And it's always one of those things like, wait, so you are, ironclad confident in the 0.3% guy, but insanely skeptical and not trusting of the 99.7% people. That's always, and this isn't of society. You know, this isn't Paul Blart made $125 million and it fooled me into going to see it in the theater and I left before the movie was over. There's always times for the popular opinion to be stupid and wrong. But when 99% of the scientific community is on board, it seems like a safe bet to go with them. But the people who want rationalization for either not going along with climate change or the vaccines, they always have a guy or a person or a study. And then they cite that like equal weight. They're like, well, on this side, you have a paper and I'm going to go with this instead of everything else. So we have become a very stupid, distrusting society. And I hate how distrusting has become like a sign of intellectual rigor. No, it's a shortcut because you're stupid. Like if you're dumb, the shortcut, it's the same thing as when people go, well, actually both sides are can't be trusted and suck. Okay. That's just lazy at this point. Like one side is the Donald Trump side. The other side is somewhere in the neighborhood of fact, truth, and decency. Even if you don't think they have the exact address, they're in the zip code. They're in the community of decency and trust and knowledge. Whereas Donald Trump is on another fucking planet called like bigotry. But if you say both sides, that's the lazy shortcut to being like, I'm actually an even-handed thinker. I think both sides suck. And you're like, yeah, go away. You're useless. And it feels like it's gotten that way in everything. And now stupidity has really made a new home in comedy. And it's so sad. It's so sad that you can be a comedian making a joke and that context is even lost on people. And I've said this before, if you like my impressions, I'm happy. I'm happy I have that skill set. I'm happy I've worked on those. I'm happy that I can bring a unique spin and make the, you know, not just voices, but make A plus sort of content within the impressions. But I've always thought impressions were comedy for stupid people. I say that as somebody who likes impressions. Like it taps into a simple part of my brain, which is okay. Because most impressionists don't have the content that I do. So no, I'm not calling you guys stupid. I'm saying my impressions are like Magic Mike. And here's the analogy. I saw Magic Mike opening night in Silver Spring, Maryland, because I thought it looked good and it got good reviews. And Steven Soderbergh is a top tier filmmaker. Was it weird that it was me by myself amongst 400 women and 85 gay men? A little bit. But I'm the guy, and this is also part of a bit I'm working on, I'm the guy who wasn't afraid to say, not afraid of admitting that the Backstreet Boys were good when I was in college. When I Want It That Way came out mid-sophomore year of college, I think that's when it came out. That came on the radio, and we were in a car full of guys, and that song came out. I go, oh, this is good shit. And of course, I had homophobic slurs hurled at me. Now, mind you, 3 months later, all these same dudes were singing along at parties to this song because it had become a pop sensation. I wasn't afraid of enduring homophobic slurs to stand my ground. I was like that guy in Tiananmen Square standing in front of a tank, except instead of a tank, it was the F word. Now we're in an era where it's just like the part of the joke that I'm working on is like, but maybe I'm not saying we need toxic masculinity in those dosages, but maybe a little bit. Like if I run into one more like 48-year-old silver fox white dude mouthing the words to like teeny bopper hits just for likes on TikTok, I go, sir, you could use a little pinch of toxic masculinity. Can we not sell out entirely for the algorithm, sir? But okay, where were we? Humor, Backstreet Boys, homophobic slurs, Backstreet's back, blah blah. Well, there I did it. I had another brain fart, folks. It's a cliffhanger, big cliffhanger. But the point was humor. People are becoming stupid. I have to now retrace my steps. This is how you know this podcast is never planned. So if ever the podcast feels like a work of genius, it really is. And if it ever feels stupid and scatterbrained, it really is. But stupid people, stupid. I know I always come back to stupid people. Cynical, voting, I don't vote, I think I'm better, I'm in both sides, suck, blah, 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 blah. Pause, we got to figure this out. Pause, guys. So where were we? Magic Mike. Had to stop and rewind because it was a good point. When I went to see Magic Mike, I watched it and I thought, that was actually a pretty damn good movie. And I looked around the theater, judging these gay men and women harshly, saying, most of you wouldn't have even given a shit if it was good. You just wanted to see Channing Tatum grind and Matthew McConaughey at his most fit. That's all you cared about. You just wanted showgirls for women. But what you got was actually a very good movie. Very entertaining and very well done. So my point is, my impressions are giving you Magic Mike impressions. If you're an idiot who just likes funny voices, you'll enjoy them too. And you probably don't need me to be as funny and layered, but a lot of people actually appreciate the nuance and depth of the content that I put out with the impressions. And to those people, I'm very thankful. But obviously, you know, like I don't know the analogy, but, you know, shit to flies. Hey, sometimes a smart fly will land on the shit, but guess what? A lot of dumb flies will land on the shit as well. And I feel like my impressions, the Pied Piper of morons who like impressions, they came as well, and they came in large numbers, and now they're seeing jokes and not understanding them. And it's very annoying. If you're listening to this podcast, you're no comedy dummy. So I feel no shame or hesitancy to say, those people are so fucking dumb. It's so annoying. It's, you used to be funny. 'Cause you used to do the voices and now you're saying words I don't understand. But I support Joe Biden. MAGA's bad. And I like to go watch TikToks now. I want to see people lip sync because that's real comedy. See, that's my whole thing. People on the left can be stupid. People on the right can have good senses of humor. When it comes to my comedy, with the exception of choosing which shows I appear on, I don't really care to investigate what your life story is or who you voted for when I'm on stage. That's not my personal life up there. It's my personal passion, but it's not my personal life. You know, if you scream out, I love Trump during a show, I'm going to respond to that. But normally, most of my comedy stays away from politics. And it's pretty even-handed. You know, that's not me in my personal life. But, you know, I've noticed that there's lefties always kind of assume that it's the MAGA people I'm complaining about when I complain about dumb comedy fans. And I'm like, no, there's dummies on both sides. That's the one time where I will absolutely take a both sides and mean it, not as a cop out, but to say, no, there's dummies on both sides and there's good comedy fans on both sides. I don't think if you're a Trump supporter, you're a particularly good person, but you can be a good comedy fan. You can also be somebody who just likes to hear racial slurs and complain about the left. And I don't consider that to be a good comedy fan. But the point is, funny voices like fireworks and sprinkles are distractions for the stupid. And I always say that to the righteous girlfriend whenever she says, please get me sprinkles on my Carvel. And I go, you know what I think sprinkles are, right? you get a sundae, put some hot fudge, whipped cream, and cherry on that bitch. All flavorful things. Sprinkles are so weird. What do you guys think? Respond in the comments. Not afraid to go after Big Sprinkle. Sprinkles are so dumb, in my opinion. I just think they're a waste. But, you know, it might be a childhood connection, you know, like sprinkles. I would never call a child stupid. I mean, once you turn 6, get over sprinkles. But, you know, I'd never tell a 4-year-old, why do you have sprinkles? Not afraid of getting stupid toppings on your ice cream? But when Carvel's only like, when you get your free hot fudge, you know, on Wednesdays, my Carvel, they do one free sundae, like buy one sundae, get one free. And not having those right now because I'm a Noomer with a hard R. And but when you get that sundae, they allow you like whipped cream and cherry is automatic, but then you can get one topping. And I go, well, hot fudge. If you're allowed one topping, it's called hot fudge. That's what you get. Sprinkles should not be your one. You wasted your one topping on sprinkles. But that's like, you might as well just get poppy seeds from a bagel on your sundae. I'll have a vanilla cone with poppy seeds, not afraid of testing positive for heroin at my new job. So I think that's it, guys. Fuck it. Thank you for listening to this. I hope that you are signed up for my newsletter. That is the first place I will be announcing my big news in August, my big positive news. That's right, folks. I am HIV and COVID positive. No, I'm not. That's not even that funny. I don't know why I said that. But maybe if I said it in a funny voice, that would get some of my dumb fans to enjoy it. No, huge, very big news, very positive news that I look forward to sharing in August. And also just sign up to the newsletter because that's where, you know, show announcements are. Although if you listen to this podcast, don't get me wrong. I get it. Like you're going to hear the announcements here, but maybe you skip a week and you miss a big announcement. Okay. So it's just as what I would have to consider my most hardcore fans, you guys, do all that you can subscribe, you know, all the free things that you can. Obviously I'd love it if you'd buy some albums, buy tickets to a show, but all those free things you definitely should do. Give a review for both of my podcasts on iTunes. Subscribe to both YouTube channels and subscribe to the newsletter. Those are many free things. Stream the albums if you're short on cash, but have a streaming service. But you know, that's it. No cash plays today. But Boston, get tickets now. Don't make me sweat this out. Much appreciated. Thank you for listening, everybody. Get vaccinated for Christ's sakes, please go get vaccinated already. You're part of the problem at this point. If you're not getting vaccinated, I'm sorry to call you out. And you understand hopefully by listening to me that I'm not saying, oh, if you're somebody who cannot get vaccinated for some sort of serious medical reason and just have to be sort of a distanced mask wearing person, totally understand. I'm obviously not talking to or about you, but come on, get vaccinated already if you haven't. You know, come on, just do it. Okay. So thank you for listening. Have a great week. Stay safe. And I will see you next Tuesday after the Boston show.